So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to your word and your truth, that we might worship you in a way that is truly worthy of all the wonderful things that you do for us so undeservedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we move this table closer?
That helps, because I can't move the chair. Well, thank you.
The mountain came to...
Oh, the table.
This is perfect. Okay. Okay, let's pick up from last week's lesson 9. And if I am remembering correctly, we were on the right side of the second page where it says analyze these two psalms. The heart of worship is the first psalm.
Yes.
Does that sound right?
Yes. Lord, open up my heart.
So we have two psalms we're going to just read through. So listen to these words. And what we're looking at is the emphasis on last week's lesson was on... Oh, who's got the front of it? I don't have the front of it. It was on praise, music, colon, praise. So we're praising different... there it is. So... The praise music form. So we're looking at two other praise songs here, and we just want to get real picky and analyze the message that these are conveying. So this is The Heart of Worship by Matt Redman. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, Jesus. So, any comments, observations? Mentions Jesus. So this is not just a generic song that could be sung by anybody. You have to know who Jesus is.
It still puts emphasis on what we do.
But it says it's all about you, Jesus.
Well,
he's figured it out. He's finally figured it out that it's about Jesus, not about himself.
But Karen brings up a good point.
But I still, and
9 out of 10 lines talk about what he's doing.
Yeah, I always get hung up on the works business, and this is more. You know, it's what I bring to you. It's what I do for you. It's less about what you have done for me.
Okay.
That's always what I get hung up.
Well, it's not necessarily a hang-up, but these are the comments Pastor Carvey makes here, too. The song says that it's all about Jesus, but apart from those words, you will notice that it's all about what this guy is bringing to Jesus.
Right.
What he is doing for Jesus, and at this very, very core, it's not all about you, Jesus. So. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and look at the next song here called Breathe by Mary Barnett. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, this is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. What is that they say? There's no I in team, but there is me if you work it right.
Yeah, but that's just a reference.
I,
Right.
Okay.
So I would think it's about not her, even though it says I.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess. Unless my English is not.
That's okay. We're looking.
This is her form of their form of worship. It's, it is between them and God.
Okay.
It could, we don't know when this is going to be sung or said or whatever.
Sure.
Are these, not that it makes any difference, but are these from a hymnal or do they, who, because.
I'm not sure, it doesn't say.
So it could be out of a. We, you know, when you have your personal devotions or whatever.
And remember here, I just want to reemphasize, we are not in this class saying this is a good song, this is a bad song, or whatever. What we're doing is looking at it and saying, is how appropriate is this? Is this confusing in any way? Are we opening up a door of misunderstanding that we might not want to leave open? That type of thing. Is it, is the message of the gospel, or is it the message of what we do for God? Things like that. Those are the things that we're looking at. For example, we've looked in the last several weeks, first article hymns, which are praise to God, the Creator, how glorious He is, how powerful and awesome He is. There is nothing wrong with a praise song that's a first article hymn. It's limited in its scope because it doesn't talk about Jesus Christ and our redemption through what Jesus has done in the promise of His death and resurrection, what that brings to us. So it's limited. So you wouldn't want to necessarily flood your service with first article hymns. However, singing a first article hymn, there's nothing wrong with it. We do it often. We have songs in our worship that are maybe not out of the hymnal as hymns, but they're songs that we sing as part of our worship that are first article canticles and worship songs there. So there's nothing wrong with that. All we're doing is looking at it and saying, is this covering all the bases, or what are our possible weak areas? So.
To where in a service, if we have a hymn like this, would be fine as long as we also have other hymns that cover it more thoroughly. But if you take just this hymn and a new person just walking in, and this is all they heard, then I think it's not the correct message if this is all they hear.
Okay. Emmanuel brings up an interesting point. Because he actually fills in some of the gaps in between the lines as far as who they're referring to when they talk about you or your holy presence living in me. Who is that you that they're talking about? I mean, we come from our frame of reference as being God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And then this is fine. If you don't understand that or aren't aware of it, in other words, could a Muslim sing this and be thinking that Allah is the you?
Yes.
There's nothing here that will contradict what their beliefs are. Or, a Jewish person be able to sing this and not even think about Jesus Christ being part of that song. So, those are things one. That's typical of a first article. Well, also, you'll notice in these ones that we went over from last week and then the beginning of this week, you'll notice that no music's been included in any of these songs because it's important to look at the text apart from the music. It's a good habit to get into. Because music can make an emotional appeal. I'm giving away the thing. Well, think about the possibility of music making an emotional appeal, okay? Because we're going to be looking at that today. So, any other questions as far as the words and the text part of the hymns? Very good. Let's move on to lesson 10. And we're looking at music and association. We start off with a quote. De gustibus non disputandem est. Which means, regarding taste, there is no dispute. you don't have to comment on that. That's just, I don't even know whose quote that is. In 1991, though, the Wisconsin Senate passed a resolution that had the following words, quote, "Musical notations and rhythm are neither inherently good nor evil, but become such to the individual conscience." That's all we have. We don't know the other context of this quote, but just taking those lines, what do you think of them? And another, kind of another way of wording that is, do you agree that music, notes, and the rhythm of music are neutral? Is it just a matter of taste whether you like that music or that rhythm or whatever, or is there more to it?
I think there's more to it.
Okay.
Maybe we're supposed to think that music is neutral, but if you think about going to a movie, when the movie gets suspenseful, the music changes. If you're going to a funeral, you hear a funeral dirge, and that brings forth a different emotion. And how can that music be neutral when we as a culture have made it be something just simply by associating it with a movie or a funeral or a wedding or a graduation or Valentine's Day or something? We've made it not be neutral.
Okay. Good argument.
Music's sort of subliminal in that sense, because if you take the music out of some movies that I've seen, they're not as suspenseful if you just listen to the dialogue or see the people walking around. But the music sets the tone of what you're expected to think.
My daughters will definitely agree with you. If they're watching some suspenseful movie, they will continue to watch while they'll turn the sound off. And they'll be able to watch it more, unless there's, you know, obviously if there are graphic things going on. Thing. But if it's just walking down a corridor, with or without music, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Good point. So would anybody have another point to make on that, or do you all agree with that? Well, as Pastor Carr states here, that the statement here is naive at best and irresponsible at worst. It ignores the music philosophy of antiquity as well as the music psychology of the last half century. Just ask Muzak, if the Muzak researchers, if they believe that music is neutral. And you go to Muzak and say, I want music that will create this type of mood or atmosphere or whatever, and they will put together music that will do that. Let's, do you mind if we sing a little bit here? We talked about Amazing Grace a couple weeks ago. We're going to sing the first verse of Amazing Grace. Okay?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see.
I don't know what other words we can sing after that, but how does that sound?
It gives it a different emotion.
Yeah, it's happy.
Yeah, I like it better the second time.
A little more joyful about the Amazing Grace. Okay. How about another tune? Okay, Gilligan's Island. Where I found just in front of
me. I forgot it.
Okay, well, you can listen if you want. It's the one that, this is the tune. Just sit right back in your ear at the table of a maple tree. And start with the
okay. It's his generation.
Well, if we have time, we'll sing the
saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
You don't like that? Why not?
No.
Still going, okay.
Keeps it a pop.
It's a little pop, okay. So, what was that?
It's good. You think of grace and smoke, of course, smoother than you expect.
A little choppier.
I think we need that compassion, you know, that.
What's that? Well, you need something more soothing.
Soothing, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
It's not as reverent. Not as reverent, yeah.
Yes.
For the words, it's not reverent.
Can you get out of your mind some sailor tripping over himself on the sand of the beach? It's hard to get that picture.
We should do Gilligan words with the first.
See, that would be it.
Just sit right back.
We played that.
Okay. So, I don't think anybody disagreed to the fact that when it's to the statement that music is neutral, because we just proved it certainly does bring back other emotions, and not that other emotions may not be appropriate. You know, we said joy of the world brings amazing grace. We're joyful now about that amazing grace more than contemplative about how in the world we deserve that. We'll sing this next hymn stanza, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Okay.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Okay, does anybody know Hernando's highlight? Is somebody with that tune?
Sure.
Can we with the tune to Hernando?
Started, maybe I
won't. Well, this is the, here, you have the lyrics for Brando's song. Okay, so this is how Brando's Highway goes. We'll just give you a little idea what it goes, then we'll go back and sing that last song to this tune.
I know a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face, a glass of wine, a fast embrace. It's called Hernando's Hideaway. Ole. Oh, you see.
Okay, so that's how the tune goes. So let's sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow to that tune.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Reactions? Thoughts? Feedback?
But I never heard of Hernando's Hideaway. Where did you find that?
This is a good point, okay? So to you, it's just a different tune, right?
Yes, but I don't know the tune that goes with Hernando's Hideaway.
Okay, well, the song comes from a musical called The Pajama Game.
Well, I never paid any attention to anything like that.
So you would not have any, your context would be totally different than someone who...
Totally different.
So what do you think about it? You like the tune? Does that fit with this?
Well, I mean, it's different.
It is different.
No, I like Old Familiar.
Old Familiar, okay.
Yeah, it's something you might see them dance to on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Okay, a little more of is it a tango or... Or you can just sing. I wonder if they would do synchronized singing to Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now that would be interesting. My daughters do synchronized swimming, and their routines are set to music, obviously. And my youngest daughter did Hernando's Hideaway this year in their routine. So I was just wondering if they would do synchronized swimming to Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
I doubt it.
So, anyway, if you we've listed the lyrics for Hernando's Hideaway here, and so if you get an idea of what these lyrics are talking about. Now, Hernando's Hideaway is not a big familiar number. In fact, it was probably 40 years old, too, even when it was first written or sung. But they're talking about meeting in a dark, secluded club, surreptitiously, and, you know, a little hidden. People don't know you're there, and what you do there, no one really knows what goes on, and all of that. And just it's a way for a man to meet a woman and get away with things.
And now, if you didn't know that, those words, it would be like, she just read the tune.
Right.
And you were going to present something in a music, church was going to do something. So they wanted to capture a certain element here. Actually, that tune wouldn't be so bad. Because it really had to bring you up to look, for me, it would be praise God from whom,
Okay. Well, that's what I was saying with Norma. Right. She didn't.
Well,
it was just a totally new tune.
I don't think that doesn't work because that's like for them.
It's a catchy tune.
Yes.
But wouldn't it make it more an entertainment? I would love to hear it like that, like entertainment. But does it take it out of the...
already forgotten the original tune.
Of...
of course, it's stately. And they have, it's the doxology.
Yeah.
And we and you see the table grace to this or whatever.
I don't drive, and I don't get to any musicals because I don't drive, and nobody I know ever mentions any musicals to me.
Yeah.
If they invited me, I'd go, but I don't know how I'd even get to a musical.
No one ever invites me either.
Of course I don't go when I don't drive, and it's just get where I get.
Well, didn't they say that the melody to A Mighty Fortress was a German drinking song?
I don't know.
I've heard that.
Of course, we have two different melodies to A Mighty Fortress.
But we have two different time.
Yeah, different meters or rhythms.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep going because you're bringing up some good points that I believe we will be addressing. If not, we'll get to them. So, let's see. Okay, we go through the lyrics of Fernando's Hideaway, which we'll get back to that. Okay, what a friend we have in Jesus. Everybody know that song?
Yeah.
Okay, let's sing just the first few lines of that.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Everything to God in prayer.
it's hard for me to remember the words. So, thoughts, reactions, feelings, ideas.
That would be good also. This particular song, I sing quite frequently as part of my prayer.
Yeah. The What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's, you know, if anybody doesn't, in their prayer time or quiet time or devotion time, have singing as part of it, I encourage you to. It's a wonderful addition.
Well, it's music, a little strife.
You know. Little strife music?
And maybe that doesn't fit the words as well. But maybe, you know, I think it's a matter of opinion.
Yeah. That's a good point. The strife words maybe don't fit a prayerful hymn like that.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes it's nice to have something different.
Like when you're praying, sometimes you're crying.
Yeah.
with the tune being upbeat like that, it just is more soothing.
Okay.
Your soul, I think.
Sometimes when I sing Amazing Grace, I can't help but cry. I don't know why. I don't know why is that, but it just so because of the melody. And lots of you know, we have lots of hymns that have lots of same melodies with different words.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
I saw this and I thought, I'm familiar with
cry
different
when I
sing it.
You're saying you cry every time you sing "I'm a Great Thou Art."
Great Thou Art.
Well, it's
such a great thing. When I stand and say, "My God, I'm a great Thou Art," I cry.
Well, we have a quote here, and my thing has misquoted. It's for. There's a quote here from Pastor Clement
Preuss.
I knew that's German, that's Preuss. Clement Preuss, and he said here, my friend John understood the concept of association. One Sunday, we sang the hymn, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken, to the tune Austria, as it is written in Lutheran worship. After church, John came up to me and said, if Grandpa had been here today, he would have gotten up and walked out of church at the singing of that tune. Austria is the tune named for Adolf Hitler's nationalistic song that had cast fear in the hearts of many hundred Jews and not a few Allied soldiers. The associations with Hitler's terror were too strong.
It's the German national anthem, no?
Yeah. So, can you see how... You know, so people who don't even know anything about that could sing that tune and those words and have no problem with it.
Well, the melody is still the national anthem, but they just changed the words.
Okay.
Where originally it was Germany, Germany overall.
Yeah.
And now they changed it to something else out of the words. They've taken that domination factor out of it.
Oh, okay.
Well, that to me is no different than, like, singing How Great Thou Art and having an emotional response to that because, say, for example, that's what was played at my grandmother's funeral. If How Great Thou Art was to a different melody, then I would tear up because it's the melody that brings the emotion. Just like in this, it's sure. The melody that brings the emotion.
Isn't it amazing how symbolic this is? We talked about symbols a few weeks ago, and people will have a different response to various symbols. You see a flag pass by, and your associations with that are different. This is very engaging. You are a part of this, whether you're singing it or whether you're hearing it. It's a very active form of worship, isn't it? And it brings your whole history with it. All your experiences, all the things you've taught, and so.
It's like when you hear pop and circumstance. You don't think of anything else, I don't, but graduation.
Yeah. Was that written just for graduation, or did they adapt that to graduate? I wonder. Well, what associations come to mind when you hear the following types of music? Think about this. Rock and roll, jazz, classical, or country. What associations come to mind when you think of rock and roll?
You teenager.
Fast.
Teenager.
Fast.
Fast and upbeat. How about jazz?
I should bring Rick Jim's tapes.
Busy.
What? Busy? And there are different types of jazz, too.
Right.
Mm. Huh. So.
I think it was a snow-filled bar.
I think of the jazz festival.
No, yeah, the jazz festival, all that, yeah.
Beatniks, counterculture.
Yeah. Okay.
How about the Jerry Martin music? Jazz. Raised jazz.
Raised jazz.
Yeah. How about classical music? What kind of associations?
Quiet, calm. That's my favorite.
Good listening.
Joyful.
Yeah, right. Is that Ode to Joy?
It's nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. We're going to talk about that. Okay, you said various things of class, country?
Fun.
Happy.
Fun, happy? Yeah.
Tells a story.
Okay, tells a story.
Older type music.
Okay. We have we're going to do something a little different. We're going to play some music here. So let's see if I can figure this out. On. Where is
it? How about this side?
This side.
This side.
This side volume and probably turn.
There we go.
It is on.
All right. I'm thinking I'm supposed to go to 5. So we're going to try 5. Okay. this one.
The
types of words words, solemn words, contemplative words, prayerful words. Is the music similar? Does it fit? Or does it fight? Does the music fight with the words? So, is there an association that's strong enough to be a distraction to the message? You're sitting in your pew singing a song and all you think of is Gilligan and the Skipper and Marianne and Ginger. Maybe that's too much of a distraction. And I bet you 200 years from now, it probably won't be that big a distraction unless they're still doing reruns. What's the motivation for the music style selected? This has to be a really honestly answered question. Is it to highlight the drummer? Is it to highlight the soloist? The message takes second seat to any of those things. We really need to rethink that. There is only one good motivation for music, and that is to carry God's word. Not for entertainment, or to try to keep up with the megachurch Joneses. So, in summary, law and gospel are the two key doctrines of the Bible, the two central themes in our worship, and the two primary messages in our sermons. As we also sing law and gospel in our songs, we ought to ask ourselves what kind of music will properly carry this message. Not every musical style has the ability to carry the weight of the law in. From depths of woe, I cry to you. That's hymn 305. Does anybody know the tune of that? Let's open it up.
Because I don't know that offhand.
Can anyone sing that? Maybe one of the two in the front row here, can you sing that too?
Song. I just remember another.
this, this, the one that, not, could it have been Beethoven? No.
I don't know.
Someone else. Mendelssohn?
Anyway.
It's pretty anyway. Very pretty. Very pretty.
So.
And they have it with some presidential things sometimes on TV.
Oh, is that right? Any other comments on the influence of music and rhythm and that in our emotions and in our hymns?
I don't know, well, this isn't hymns, but I don't know if any of you were into Hannah Montana. Our little 3-year-old and 5-year-old dance all through my living room and kitchen when we put Hannah Montana on. Or Star Wars, something that has a fast beat to it.
Isn't that true? Kids definitely respond to music.
Yeah.
It's very natural. So it's not something we necessarily, it's one of those things that we just are drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. Shows you how powerful the media can be.
Yeah. So, the purpose of this class, remember, is not to figure out who's right and who's wrong, but the thing is, we have a very important message to convey in both law and gospel. We want to make sure it's conveyed in a way that isn't misunderstood, in a way that's understandable, and almost more importantly, in a way that cannot be misunderstood. So I think the big thing here, one of the big things was the distractions that can come with certain songs and melodies. And we want to be careful of that, because we want the focus to be clearly on what Jesus has done for us and the promises that come through that wonderful gospel message. Well, we did it. We caught up on last week's lesson and we got through this week. Nice job, everybody.
Any other questions?